This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Butler Community College President, Dr. Kim Krule. Welcome to Issues 2024.
Well, thank you. It's always fun to be with you and have a chance to visit.
Now, your last name, I know I didn't pronounce it properly. How do you say your last name?
I say Krull, but Krull. Kind of like dull Krull.
Okay.
It gets pronounced all different kinds of ways.
All right. Well, thank you for that. After 11 years of the job at Butler, you're retiring. Tell us about your reasons for making that decision, Doctor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's been a great run. You know, I had my first grandchild born a year ago in March, and that sort of just changes your whole perspective. My son and his wife and my little granddaughter live in Anchorage. And I just, you know, it was just like, I need to spend more time with my kids. I want to be a really active and present grandma. And I really want to watch this little girl grow up. And so it was really kind of a pivotal moment that I had anticipated for quite a while. But I'm really excited about it.
What was your professional life before you arrived in El Dorado at Butler?
I was the vice president of academic affairs at Cloud County Community College for 8 years. And prior to that, I was at a two-year campus of the University of Nebraska in southwest Nebraska for, 18 years. I taught for almost all of those years and then did administrative work. Prior to that, I worked for the Nebraska State Patrol Crime Lab when I got out of graduate school, and my husband was finishing college, and I worked for a couple of years for the Iowa Crime Lab when Steve was in vet school and the bacteriology lab at the vet school. And then we ended up in southwest Nebraska, and that's where I started teaching at this small college.
Did you ever teach anything but college level? Did you teach high school?
I did not. No, okay. I've always taught college level, and my background, my degrees are all in micro and biochemistry. So I've always, kind of been on the science side and the math side of teaching.
That explains the crime lab. All right.
Right.
How do you intend to occupy your time in the future?
I'm not a good sitter. I don't very often sit and watch TV or just sit. And so I'll be busy. I'm going to stay in the El Dorado area for a while. I'm not planning to move right away. And I'll be engaged in community activities. I serve on some boards that I hope I can continue to, assist with. I'll find stuff to do. I love to garden, love to work in the yard. So I'll find something. I've always told people that my dream job after I retire, not only, being a grandma, but I want to work in a greenhouse. Everybody's happy when they're buying flowers and they're excited to go home and plant. And so I've kind of joked that, that I am going to work in a greenhouse. So I don't know, you may run across me someplace hauling flats of flowers to somebody's, to the backseat of somebody's car along the way.
All right. Now, you were a member of the Wichita Business Journal's 2021 Executives of the Year class. How did you respond to that honor?
I was. Oh, my gosh. It's such an honor to be recognized in that way. I mean, you spend your entire career working. I've always worked with amazing teams of people. And so when I look at those kinds of things, I don't look at them as an individual. It's not what I've done. It's what my team has done that's really elevated, great successes for our students and for the college. And so, it's certainly an honor to be individually recognized. But I always believe wholeheartedly that it's really a team effort that, works together to get great things accomplished. But I was really proud. I was really honored to be recognized that way.
The COVID-19 pandemic had a huge impact on so much of the world. How did Butler get through that storm?
Well, again, we had a great team put together. We had in place already what we call a critical incident management team that, really would deal with emergencies on campus and those kinds of things. It had a core group of people. And we just immediately expanded that team to include people from housing, more academic representation, more student services representation. And boy, we sat down like everybody did. We were just coming into spring break. And so we sat down that week and we mapped out a plan to turn over all of the college computers, the lab computers, and create access for our students and staff. And then we took that next week also off to help with that transition. We were better prepared probably than some institutions because we'd been teaching online for a long time. So we had a lot of expertise in that area. And it was fascinating to watch this team pull together. Because even on the faculty side, we had a number of faculty that were very accomplished and had taught online for a long time, and some that had never taught online. And so our director of faculty development and the folks on the academic side sort of sorted our list of faculty and put them into different tiers of the really experienced ones and the not so experienced ones and matched them up. And they mentored each other that spring semester. So we had accomplished online faculty and experienced faculty helping those that had never taught before in that format to get students through the semester. And it was things like that that were just absolutely incredible to watch. Our retention rates were really good that spring semester. In fact, a little bit higher than the prior year. And so we really felt good that we had served our students in an important way. And then we learned a lot from that. We learned a lot from the technology use. We had some access, obviously, like other institutions had, to federal stimulus funds. And so we really embedded a lot more technology and used a lot of those funds to support our students and continued success in the classroom with the use of additional technology.
The pandemic was especially tough on healthcare. The healthcare community, but is Butler helping to find and educate nurses and other healthcare professionals?
Oh yeah, we have a really outstanding nursing program and allied health program. And if you look at our, if you would just section out, enrollment at the college, the health professions pathways. Nursing and allied health and all the classes that our students take to prepare to apply for some of those programs, there's significant enrollment, in those health pathways. I mean, I know healthcare took a really huge hit in the pandemic, and a lot of people, obviously got burned out, walked away from it. It's just, I can't even imagine. My daughter's a nurse, so I guess I hear it. And I have a niece that has a nursing background. Both of them are have doctorates in nursing. But, so you hear it from that perspective. I have brothers that are doctors on the coast. And so tremendous stress in the healthcare industry. But, boy, folks that are dedicated. And I think we see that in our nursing students that come through our program and the students that come through Allied Health. These folks are dedicated individuals and committed to these professions because they want to help people and they want to help families. And it takes really special people to make that commitment to care for others. And so we're always really proud of all of our students, but especially nursing and allied health, they have a huge job in front of them to take care of others.
Many businesses that we've been talking to, government and service organizations, say they've been having difficulty filling jobs. What is your experience at Butler as far as finding educators, staff members, whatever?
I think we're all kind of all in that same boat. It kind of depends on the area, across the college, the classification area. I think the area maybe where we have the most difficulty is hiring sometimes the hourly employees. And you've seen, all of us have seen such changes over the last few years in those hourly wages as people try to elevate you know, starting wages to attract workers because everybody's trying to hire people. And so it's become a really competitive market. I think in, you know, a lot of those hourly jobs, and we'll see people that'll, you know, come to work for Butler and then have an opportunity to go work someplace else and be able to earn a little bit more per hour. And they'll do that. Sometimes it's because it's closer to home or it's closer to their kids' schools. I mean, there's all those factors that go into it. Sometimes in the faculty areas, it kind of depends on the specific the departmental area. It seems like there are, some educational areas that aren't producing as many graduates. I think the high schools talk about struggling to find math and science folks that are trained in the math and science areas. We're lucky because we have a really stable long-term workforce. We don't have a huge turnover in our faculty ranks. It'll be because retirements more than anything else. And we seem to be able to, you know, have good pools of applicants. Sometimes in the technical areas, it's a little bit harder to hire because oftentimes we're trying to hire folks out of industry and we can't match industry wages in lots of cases. So it just kind of depends on the, you know, the area where we're looking.
And you're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Butler Community College President, Dr. Kim Krall. What is your current enrollment at Butler?
You know, we probably have about, 65% of our students are part-time students. And so if you count heads, individual students, probably any one given semester, I bet somewhere between 8,500 and, 88 or 8,900. It just varies. Spring semester is always a little bit lower than fall semester. But that's kind of where we've been running, right now. Yeah, and we've seen an enrollment decrease over the years. But we also have seen an increase in our retention and completion rates, too. So our students, once they come to us, they're staying with us.
Now you offer a lot of just a variety of opportunities. And you say over the years, has it steadily gone down or is it just something recent that the enrollment has dropped?
No, it's steadily gone down. If you look at community college enrollment across the state, community college enrollment as a sector, public institutions across the state has decreased. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. And it's not just in Kansas. I mean, this is national enrollment trends as well. We have sectors of enrollment increases, high school students increased enrollment. You know, we have areas where we have increased enrollment, but overall a decrease. And we believe that part of it, again, is the student population that we serve, part-time students. And mm-hmm. So they're working oftentimes multiple jobs. They're taking care of kids and families. They're commuting back and forth. And pandemic related, all of those kinds of things. When you have financial barriers or you have transportation barriers, those things contribute to your ability to take college classes and come to school. But we work really, really hard to try to keep our costs reasonable and create access for our students to class times. One of the things that we learned from the pandemic when I sat down with students, I always do student forums each semester, but that spring, that first semester when we came back from the pandemic, I asked the students, I said, what should Butler continue to do and what should we never try to do again? That was just an absolute disaster. And one of the things that they talked about was keep the technology in the classrooms, provide flexibility for us. And I still specifically remember one young lady saying, I'm working three jobs and I'm driving back and forth to try and cover all of my living expenses and college expenses. And it helps me so much to be able to connect with a hybrid classroom where, you know, if the only time that I have in between my jobs is just a short amount of time and I can't travel to class, I can Zoom into class and I can connect that way and stay, you know, progress the way that I'm supposed to. So, you know, some of those kinds of things we've learned and continue to try to support our students in those ways so they can come to college.
How many satellite campuses or facilities do you have here in Central Kansas?
Oh, well, gosh, we serve all of the high schools in Butler County. Physical locations, we've got a 5-county service area. And so we're in Council Grove, very near the high school. We're in Marion at the high school. We're in Rose Hill. We have a wing of the high school in Rose Hill where we have classes, and we have one of our early college academy areas. We're in Andover, El Dorado. We have the Redler Institute of Culinary Arts in Andover. We've been, I think 48 years at McConnell Air Force Base. And we are, we're at the El Dorado Correctional Facility offering adult basic education and GED, and then construction technology and some certificate courses, dent ed courses and things out there too. I think I counted all of them.
We brushed on this a moment ago. I want to talk about it just a little bit more, and that is this is a big, big item in the news, of course, student loan repayment. Do you track that for those who leave Butler, and do they leave with a lot of debt under their belt, or are you trying to help them out with that some way?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be able off the top of my head to give you an idea of the average debt. Our students have opportunity to be on a loan, be on a payment program. Even as students, they can, you know, if they can't pay their tuition and fee bill up front, we have a payment plan that they can sign up for. And so we work with them very strategically and you know, in a really significant way to help make sure that they're able to pay for their college and that they're able to repay those costs if they have, you know, outstanding loan. Of course, like all institutions, we have some students that aren't able to, you know, end up paying their bills. But we also have, we use an outside, a third-party vendor that will work with students to help them understand the repayment, the importance of repayment, and that's been really successful for us. I mean, we don't let them just walk out the door and then wonder about how they're going to repay their, you know, their bill and their balance. We, you know, our folks work with them, and then we use this outside third party to assist as well. Our students have access if they have, you know, meet the right level of financial need. They have access to Pell Grants from the federal government, federal student loans, the Kansas Promise Act that was implemented by the legislature a couple of years ago is another opportunity for students to access last dollar scholarship dollars in specific program areas to help, you know, cover the cost of college. So there's lots of options for them. Our student loan default rate has gone down over the last number of years. And so I think that tells us that we're working hard to help those students manage the finances and, you know, manage any kind of balance that they have when they're finished at Butler.
I want to ask you about something else in the news that may or may not have impacted you, and that's NIL. Name, image, likeness. Is that any impact on sports programs at Butler?
Not yet. And I'm saying not yet. Yeah. Because I think at some point in time it's bound to. I know there are a couple of colleges in the Jayhawk Conference that this past year have had one or two athletes that have NIL support.
Yeah.
I think it's only a matter of time, probably, and it's hard to know what that's going to look like. You know, there's high school students now that have NIL support, and obviously, you know, the big colleges, the big players, and the big institutions have a lot of athletes that have NIL support. So it's going to come to our level probably in a big way over the next couple of years.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a little bit because we're getting close on time. But I wanted to ask you specifically about, I know that there's some high school students in the area that are actually taking classes in high school and getting credit at Butler. How's that work? How does that work?
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. We have graduated our Early College Academy, which is what we call this. Those pathways allow qualified juniors and seniors to take their associate degree coursework while they're juniors and seniors and finish high school with an associate degree at the same time they are finishing their high school diploma. It's college curriculum. It's the regular degree programs that our students are taking on campus. And so it's not, you know, it's not altered in any way. They take college classes in the morning and high school classes in the afternoon or vice versa. And we have in those academy, the first academy was established, I believe, in 2010. And we have graduated more than, I think, 725 high school seniors from the area, you know, in that time frame.
Wow.
We've saved them millions of dollars, and those students have garnered millions and millions of dollars in college scholarships as well.
Terrific.
So it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Hey, listen, in your 11 years at Butler, can you tell me what you think your biggest single success might be, Dr. Carroll?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask that.
Well, you're ready then.
It's just, again, it's just such a team effort. There have been so many things that we've done that have been student-focused. I feel like my greatest accomplishment, and this is just with my heart and soul. I mean, you come to work every single day, and you know that you're supporting students and you're changing their lives and you're hopefully helping their futures. And so I think that just in itself, my entire career, that's an accomplishment, because hopefully somewhere along the way, you know, I've impacted in the work that I've done and my team has done, you know, help those students, you know, advance their lives. You know, we raised $10.3 million in a Forever Butler Scholarship campaign. We've built the beautiful Redler Institute of Culinary Arts with the amazing gifts from Scott and Betsy Redler and Paul and Flavia Jackson. We renovated our 5,000 building, you know, and moved all of our services in Andover into that building. We leveraged our federal stimulus dollars to impact and add technology into our classrooms. And, you know, I just feel like everything that we've done, our focus has always been on students and how do we help our students and how do we elevate opportunities and access for them.
We're out of time. Best of luck to you in the future. We appreciate your time this morning. Our guest, Butler Community College President, Dr. Kim Krall. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.